Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noom Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noom Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything, because anything can happen after noon.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports this season. From Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the odds and lines on everything, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Tigers Minor League Report Recap. Usually I play the video, but for whatever reason, I froze and like deer headlights and forgot to do the intro this week. But it's quite all right. I think it's because we're watching the Tigers game. It is now going to the bottom of the sixth. Tigers trail 2-1 in Kansas City as Michael Wacha's. We've been watching Michael Wacha's changeup do some beautiful things. I mean, that thing's got some tumbling action, especially against lefties, and he can throw it at will. Rogelio Gonzalez is Chris Brown. Brady Day should be joining us promptly. And so, but before we get to the show, I just wanted to say if you, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen to the podcast, and over on Twitter at Tigers ML Report. So please make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're getting closer to our goal. And now we're part of the Believe Network. So, and please, if you subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, please leave us a review. It goes a long way. And also, we have a donation link, too, that we have playing right down on the bottom here. So this weekend, I'm hoping to go out to Erie this weekend for just for a day. And the next weekend is the West Michigan comes home. So we're going to be hitting the road pretty hard here in the next couple of weeks as summer kicks off officially. And so one last item of note, too. MLB is doing something really cool for those who are suffering with because May is mental health awareness. And they're partnering with the crisis text line. So it's a free 24/7 confidential text-based mental health service. And if you're experiencing feelings of loneliness, sadness, or being overwhelmed, you're not alone. You can text MLB to 741-741 to reach the volunteer crisis counsel at the crisis text line, or you can connect via web chat at crisistextline.org. And I might be endorsed by that. As somebody who's suffered from mental health myself, always reach out. There's always some sort of resource for it. And yeah, I mean, depression runs in our family. I suffer from it. It sucks. And I don't really talk about it because really nobody's business. But I mean, at the same time, there's resources for people to get help out there. So there you go.
Yeah, it's important. Take care of your mental health.
Yes.
And don't, you know, don't be afraid or feel embarrassed or whatever. I know it's tough. I was going through some, I had some rough weeks here lately. And yeah, it's nice to know that those resources are there. And then it's also nice to know that things do get better. So just stick with it. And then if you need a gentle distraction, just listen to some podcasts about minor league baseball.
Yeah. Or yeah, let's talk about the major league team a little bit too. The last night, the Motor City Metrics, Chris and Mike and Youper talked a little bit about the series of Arizona. And we'll talk a little bit about the Tigers too, a little bit. There's a couple things because they're playing Toronto again, which I'm always like when Toronto comes to town. It's always a cool thing that for that to happen. And I believe the Pirates are gonna come in after for Memorial Day, I believe. So that's gonna be Paul Skeen versus Derek Skubal will line up on Tuesday if everything continues to line up the way it does. So that'll be cool. That'll be really good. I'm actually gonna go out to that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're currently saying it's going to be Skubal and Jones and then Skeens and Flaherty. Either way, it looks like the Tigers are going to get two of the best young pitchers in the National League. So that's good and bad, obviously, but should be fun for sure. And yeah, I was talking about the Blue Jays, how they, you know, the Canadian fans overrun the stadium and are always booing. It's a different atmosphere down there when the Blue Jays come to town.
Yeah, they're very. If there's one thing about Toronto fans, even their minor league, there's people that make a point to go to minor league, spend their whole summer going to minor league games, affiliates and everything too. There's a couple of people I met when the Blue Jays were out in at the affiliate with the Lugnuts affiliate. So that was every summer I went out to Lansing and we had Blue Jay fans that said, "Oh yeah, I plan my vacation around this," and it sounds like the most normal thing in the world. So. Clay, good to see you. Clay Soden from justbaseball.com. They just did an interview with Jackson Job. You can check out on their website. Just want to give them a plug and give them a shout out because Clay's always pushing us up. So I really appreciate
it. The call up podcast, right?
Yeah, just the call up podcast. And and I think Clay's coming to town this weekend too. So I'm trying to see if I can maybe Sunday or something along those lines get him some actual good Mexican food or some good food prepared in Detroit. So there's some, it depends on what he's looking for. As my hands were going, I wanted to go to Louisville real bad, but it's not in the cards right now, but I do want to go eventually see a Bats game down there at some point. So
it's a rough weekend in Louisville. People get arrested all over the place.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. That's where the Scottie Scheffler thing went down, right?
That's right. Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. No. The pro golfer
one of the better meme events of the year.
Yeah. Not as good as probably one of the best pieces of audio we have acquired in quite some time from the NBA, courtesy of Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, how much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We've been losing for 20 years.
Yeah, there you go. That's Tigers fans mantra too.
Yeah, that's the Tigers mantra right here in a nutshell. I'm going to play it one more time.
Oh, how much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We're losing for 20 years.
my favorite part about that drop, too, is the guy laughing hysterically in the background.
That's Anthony Edwards, I think. Yeah,
is it Anthony Edwards laughing in the background? Because that's fantastic. That's just great. So, so we have our top 30. So we're gonna talk about that. I think we should start with that. I don't know, Chris. We can start. Yeah. Well, that was a nice pitch there at once. He just got Silver Perez. there's old BK and Samuel. I was gonna say, don't be saying anything, but we have a pretty good Canadian fan base here, so I'm not gonna go and disparage all that. But our top 30 list is out. And yeah, you know what, Chris? Let's just start there. We'll start there. We can quickly just through.
Split the pod in two if we need to, right?
Yeah, we'll split the pod in two. There we go. So, there's a nice comment in there about Cole Keefe's lack of extra bases is starting to defy possibility. His last three hits have been over 105 miles an hour. That goes back to Arizona. So,
I get it. It is kind of weird that his ISO is like 0.015 or whatever, but it's coming. It's like you can see he's making the harder contact. He's getting his hits now. The extra base hits will start coming after that. And I think he's going to end up having close to the rookie season than we expected. You know, it's just, we always talk about this, man. Like it's, he always made the adjustments that he needed to. He changed to a toe tap to get his timing down. He's always done things like this to figure it out. And the big leagues is a huge jump. And so it just took him a while. And it's going to take him, you know, there'll probably be some more ups and downs. We see, you know, Kerry Carpenter went through a slump. He's back to crushing the ball. Riley Green's in a bit of a slump right now. It happens to really good big league hitters too. And so, yeah, I'm not too worried about Cole Keith still. I think, you know, he's got the strikeout rate is like 17%, which is kind of wild these days, especially for a rookie. So he's doing a lot of good things, and I think the power will come soon.
Yeah, there was playing if they, in terms of like where he was playing at a different ballpark, I think he had like six home runs at Dodger Stadium or something like that. So I saw some ridiculous, something like that, or along those lines. But I, in terms of the Scooble trade talk, is that just, by the way, somebody in our chat saying, please tell me that the Scooble trade talk is just BS. They need to sign this guy long term. It is just BS. It's just, I haven't heard anything. Or go ahead, Chris.
No, and it's absolutely, you know, we've discussed it many times before. It's like we talked about it all offseason. If you're going to make a trade to get an impact bat, you're going to have to give up something. And Scooble's their best pitcher, and you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball. So it's an interesting thought exercise. But the Tigers aren't seriously considering trading him right now. They would, I don't know, they'd have to be absolutely blown away by a deal, and they'd probably have to be losing like 30 of their next 40 games.
Yeah, that's just absurd. We do have a video compilation with this all too, so I will probably play the reason why I didn't want to play the video at first is because the second half of the video, the from the 10, or I'm sorry, from 20 to 10, I'm sorry, from 20 to 1, there was no audio for it, so I still haven't finished doing the last part of it. But either way, we have the list right here, and we'll start at number 30 with Brett Callahan. And so, Chris, you want to tell the folks how we came up with our new top 30?
Yeah, so, you know, it's the same sort of process we've used the last four or five lists we made. You know, some of the people involved change, but we basically we put it out to everybody in our Tigers Minor League Report chat group. Hey, everybody do their own individual top 40 list, and then we will then combine them all and rank them all and then come up with a top 30. And that's what we did. It was Rogelio, myself, Jerry, Colin, and Jaden all did top 40 lists, and this was the result. And I, you know, we ended up with 35 players who were on at least three lists and 31 who were on at least four lists, so we kind of went with that one. So there were a couple players who were on three lists that would have been ranked on this, but we just kind of left them off because, you know, if you've got more of a consensus, you might as well go with that. So that's how it worked. And, you know, it's like any collaborative process like this. I'm sure that there are a couple players that I wanted on the list that didn't make it, and a couple players that I, you know, didn't have on my top 30 that made it. And I'm sure that's the way for all five of us. But I think we ended up with a really good consensus list. You know, the system itself, we can go for the 10,000 foot view here. You know, there's only been a couple players who graduated, but it feels a bit lighter now. In part because, Colt Keith was our number one prospect. He's gone now. Parker Meadows, he was our number four prospect, I think. He's gone now. And Wenzel Perez isn't technically graduated yet, but we decided that he will be soon enough. So we just left him off. And then it's sort of the same thing with Ryan Kreidler again. he's technically still a prospect. He made three lists but didn't make four, so we left him off. So, yeah, it's there's room for a lot of new faces here. And, in the depth of the system gets a little interesting after, 15 or so. It's kind of like, you know, choose your own adventure. Which player do you like more than the other one? And, and honestly, we do the lists, I think, three times a year now. I think we update usually in May, and then I think in July or early August after the draft, and then we do one in, like, November, December. And I think the May one is usually – I don't mean to say this, we put the same amount of effort in all, but I don't think the main one is our best list, because a lot of it is based on the first 5-6 weeks of the season, right? We're like, hey, this guy seems to be breaking out, this guy's struggling. And then what happens, and you can look back last year, the first list. We didn't have, I don't think we had Gibson Long on it. I don't think we had Bigby on it, right? And correct. Then by the time we did the next list, both those guys were in like the top 15 because there's another 3 months to go or whatever. So, but the whole point of these is always to just capture what we think of the system right now at this specific point in time. And this is our May list and we're proud of it. And there you go.
And here's the thing too. You're right about that. It just does capture in time, because on my list, for example, I put Andrew Navigato on mine because I felt like we haven't really, as far as like trying to
give him his due.
We haven't really given him his, I mean, he has been the last couple of years, he's been a consistent force, and looking at some of the more batted ball data, Navigato has done pretty well. It's just, I mean, for his age, unfortunately, it is what it is. And I think in a different set of circumstances, perhaps if he didn't lose a year to COVID or anything, who knows? I don't know, but I will say this. It's that is exactly what you're talking about, Chris. I mean, right here, would we have him on the list last year at all? No. I mean, he really turned it on late last year. I mean, he was consistent last year, but we saw it as, well, maybe it's just because he's an older guy and all that, and he's just a guy in the system, and a guy who I think that Brandon Day would have a strong opinion on too. Navigato doesn't, I want to entertain that he's a 4A player. Is he a prospect? He's in that weird category. So that would be an example of capturing a prospect in time, right, Chris? I mean,
Yeah. It's some of it is we just haven't seen the guys break out yet. Like, there are players that right now are still finding their footing. And then, 2 months from now, we'll be like, oh God, they performed for the last 2 months and this is legit. And we're seeing some real progress. And other of it is like, Navigato is a guy that has been kind of an organizational player, that he's played just about everywhere position wise. And he's hit fairly well. I always thought that it was going to be kind of like breaking ball recognition that would do him in, but he's gone up to AAA now and hitting. And, just a step away from the big leagues. If something happens, it's tough to say that he's a prospect to me. But again, like, once you get past the 15 point in the system right now, it's, anybody's guess as to who's the actual prospect, to be honest.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, Brandon. I mean, I know your list might be totally different from ours, but that, when I look at the numbers, here's where between 20 to 30, our list can be very interchangeable. And the one name, the name that I'm surprised still on there, honestly, was Christian Santana, because I know based off his potential, I know you have to look at the numbers. You can't look beyond the numbers a little bit, but I'm surprised that Santana just survived. You have Cole Turney, who's, again, is he a prospect? I don't know. But then you have, for example, I was high on some of the Latin kids, like Salas from Frombar, and even like Rainer Castillo, you can put him in some consideration too. But Santana survived it all. And even Dickerson, I haven't seen him pitch, but I don't know. That one also kind of perplexed me a little bit. And so, Sean, welcome to the Tigers or chat this evening, and hopefully you did not make please do not drink that Clorox milkshake. It's bad news.
I didn't realize that Joey Wentz reverted to last year starting Joey Wentz, and the game was basically over. But Brandon, I don't know. We had just started to kind of talk about our process for the top 30. We haven't actually gotten to the names yet.
Yeah, it's it's always interesting. There's like the guys who, you're always kind of torn between the guys who've performed somewhat and then the guys whose skills you look at and think like, okay, this is still workable. And I mean, Santana kind of falls in that category. Obviously, there's a lot to be done, but a middle infielder to some degree who hits for power when he makes enough contact and who has pretty good plate discipline, is it that against Andrew Navigato, who's actually hitting at AAA? I'd still take Santana, to be honest, because, I just think, at his age, there's still a lot more hope that he can actually turn into a legit major leaguer, whereas Navigato, has performed somewhat, but you still look at him striking out, almost 30% of the time in AAA and figure like, you know, he's a guy you might catch for a little bit of a hot streak, but isn't someone who looks like he's going to like actually develop much further into a big leaguer. So there's always that balance between, you know, overestimating or underestimating skills versus actual performance. But I probably wouldn't have Navgato in there too. And I probably still would have Santana sneak it in there somewhere in the 20s. But yeah, once you get past that, you know, that range of like, okay, these guys are the obvious good ones. Yeah. There's always some middle ground, you know, with the guys beyond 20, you know, we went to 35 this year just for that same reason. Cause there's a couple of guys who I at least want to mention, you know, who are interesting, but yeah, it becomes a little bit of a leap of faith when you get that far down the list where it's just like, who do you feel like actually has a little bit of upside. And also, I should say that I've been waiting for Joey Wentz to blow up, you know, for 6 weeks now. So it's about time. Yeah. He's actually done well. I mean, no shade on Joey. It's just, you know, you always know there's something lurking there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would just say, like, you know, Santana, for me, I think I had him 30th on my list. And is that where he ended up? There's a handful, yeah, of guys, handful of guys in the system. Santana, Pacheco, Campos, Workman to a certain extent, Peyton Graham, like all these guys, you hold on to some hope because of the draft pedigree or bonus pedigree, but none of them are really performing. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Do you put guys in who are performing, or do you put the guys in there that might have the tools to perform one day? It's always a balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just a juggling act that has to be done there where, you know, some guys you're going to like, you just naturally are going to like them more. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes you just hang on too long. Santana might be a guy that, you know, I've hung on to too long. I might hang on to Peyton Graham a little bit too long this summer too. He hit a home run yesterday and I was just like, okay, here we go.
He had a great week. Yeah. We'll see that in our slides later,
but yeah, you know, like, you know, Peyton Graham's not hitting for any power. Like, is he going to? You know, that with each guy, you've got to kind of hone down to like what the specific question is. Like, he obviously has enough, you know, strike zone discipline, but does he have the pitch recognition and ability to drive the ball? We haven't seen it. I hoped it was there, but we haven't seen him make any of those kind of adjustments. And yeah, when a guy is making those adjustments, like you were saying when I came on, then it's, you know, how much of this do I need to see, you know, before I get too excited? You know, and usually 6 weeks isn't necessarily enough unless it's like a crystal clear, like, okay, this guy's leveled up, you know, Colt Keith, you know, in the spring of 2022 kind of leveled up, that kind of a thing. But sometimes it's obvious. Other times you're taking a bit of a leap for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, in terms of Gage Workman too, like he's on our list. He's at number 23. In terms of this week, I don't know what it is about playing, maybe because in terms of Harrisburg, I mean, I don't know. The Harrisburg's really good this year. So, but he did come back down. I mean, he did have a multi-hit game on the 15th, but then, yeah, it was just kind of slow steady after that. But here's the thing. If there's one encouraging thing, except for yesterday where he struck out three times, as soon as I said that, I'm like, well, yesterday he went back to his old ways, but still, I'm not. Workman deserved to be up there because he has made that improvement, and it's just, and not everybody's going to hit 400 all week or all the time either. But another name too that came up really quickly was Carson Rucker, who is, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, he's still injured, correct?
Yeah, I believe he went on the IL last week. He hasn't come back yet.
Yeah. And it fits in the philosophy of what the Tigers have been doing lately, which is drafting high school guys, high school bats, which is something that we're still getting used to. But Rucker hitting the list, I mean, he hit complex league pretty hard last year, made waste of it pretty quickly. And if it wasn't for the injury and the surplus of infielders right now in Lakeland, I think he'd probably be in Lakeland right now.
Yeah. And another guy who you like, you know, you like what you see out of the raw ability, you know. Obviously there's so far to go, but yeah, I mean, you know, you've got him, he's 19, he's got power, not a shortstop probably, but you know, an infielder who can hit for power at that age. There's plenty that you could project there, you know, in his frame and his swing. So there's another question that comes down to, you know, how much do you trust the organization? And that's another thing I struggle with a lot, because I can get real cocky with pitchers right now. But you know, you still have a lot of kind of bad feeling about, you know, are the Tigers going to improve this guy's swing and approach, you know, it's not their bread and butter. And even though we've seen a few more examples in recent years, you know, even those have been a struggle. You know, Wentzel was a struggle. You know, Kerry Carpenter kind of came out of nowhere and just did his thing and was right there. But you still don't have that many examples of like steady progress. And this guy's a bona fide major leaguer right away. Even Keith obviously hasn't hit the ground running.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Brandon. I mean, if you look at the way the Tigers have not been able to develop hitting at all in the last, I mean, dare I say, decade plus. I mean, it's been a long time where the Tigers have been able to say, okay, you know, like, you know, in terms of like, you know, a guy that could be something relatively quickly, or just it's just going to be either or organizational fodder. Stan goes, why are you guys always so quick to determine a pitcher? Could be only reliever, shortstop, could never play shortstop in the majors. Why the heck do the Tigers draft shortstops?
They don't usually.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem. And if they do, they're young and everybody's a shortstop when they're 17, you know, 18 for the most part. Anybody good? Well,
yeah, I mean, I think it's just through experience that to seeing that you know, most guys who start as a shortstop don't end as a shortstop. Most guys who start as a starter don't end as a starter. You know, it's a hard thing. A lot of guys get pushed to the bullpen. It's just the way it is. And unfortunately, you know, center fielders end up in the corner or at first base or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it happens. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So unless your tools are outstanding defensively, that you can actually buy them as a shortstop in the major leagues or a center fielder in the major leagues, there's always like the, okay, where is this going to detour to as he gets into the upper minors? And, you know, the competition is a lot tougher. So yeah, that's just kind of a standard like adjustment that you make with almost everybody.
I mean, look at Fernando Tatis, for example. Anybody tell me that Fernando Tatis Jr. would be a plus defensive right fielder after being hyped as one of the best shortstop prospects in a long time? I would have told you you're nuts. And look at him. I mean, he's very good in right field. And Winciel Perez is playing center field on a pretty good, I mean, he is in terms of, as far as like playing his position well. Stan said, so you're saying there's no development in the minor leagues for any of these positions. We're not saying that. What happens is that either they grow into something else. Like you look at Winciel Perez. Okay. I'll give you a prime example of that. When we saw him, when he first came up to West Michigan in 2018, and he was a skinny kid who just slapped the ball around the infield. He's groomed himself into a well-built athlete with speed. I mean, he had speed before, but he was just a slap hitter. Now he started hitting the ball with air. With air, he started getting more into that. In the infield, he can't play the infield. He just can't do it. For whatever reason, he has a yips, whatever the case is. And the Tigers were able to put him in, like, I give the Tigers at least the development track to go, hey, they made him into a major league player in that regard.
So, yeah, they had to find a way. You know, it wasn't like it was an obvious role for him ever.
Yeah, and it was, he started as a shortstop, and then it was mostly shortstop and third base, and then it was mostly second base, and then it was outfield and second base, and now it's mostly outfield, if not exclusively outfield. And it's not that they didn't give him chances and they weren't trying to develop him there. It just wasn't working. And sometimes it's just somebody's just better than you. Like, you know, Kevin McGonigal so far has looked completely fine at shortstop. I don't know that he's going to be a shortstop at the big league level because there's probably going to be somebody who's just a better defender there. You know, it's just the way it is. Like, you know, if you have Kevin McGonigal or Javi Baez playing shortstop, you're probably going to play Javi Baez at shortstop, even if he's not hitting, because he's a better defender. Now, you know, maybe that's not the best example in the world because Javi has, you know, hit pretty poorly. But that's one of the things you have to consider, is that even if you're playing a premium position right now, if you don't have like those rare tools that make you a plus defender at that position, then you're going to get moved off. Like, you just think of Riley Green, right? Riley Green was perfectly fine as a center fielder. It was always a little bit iffy, you know, he was having to dive for everything, and he gets moved to a corner where he's great because Parker Meadows is just faster and better. And now Winciel Perez is playing there and everybody else is playing there. But I don't know. It's not that you're not developing these guys. It's sometimes there are limits to your physical ability.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to, you know, watching the player. Like, is it because they're, you know, Winciel Perez had all this trouble, you know, throwing to first base? I mean, that's all it really came down to. It's not like his hands were terrible. You just have to balance those things. Like, you know, in the raw ability, Winciel Perez probably could be a shortstop. Like, he's got, you know, arguably enough arm to play there. He's got the foot speed. He's quick, all that sort of thing. But then you watch it and it's just never come along. And, you know, if someone's going to be a major league shortstop, and it, you know, it's usually pretty obvious that this is a really, really good defender. There isn't that much question about it. It's the guys like, yeah, Navigado, like Workman at shortstop. You know, Workman is better than Navigado at shortstop, but is Workman a major league shortstop? And I don't think any of us are like completely sold on that. Like, he could probably be okay there if he hit enough. But then, yeah, and then, okay, and then you get that calculation, and then it's like, okay, well, how much is he going to hit, and how much do those two things balance together? So there's this, you know, it's not a science, that's for sure. Not for, you know, not for us, maybe in the computer banks of, you know, various player development systems it is, but, you know, you're just trying to kind of balance those two things. Like, what physically is this guy capable of doing? And when you actually watch him play a lot, you know, how does it actually play out? Does he make mistakes? Does he show those skills? Does he show those instincts? And is he getting better as the years go by? But if a guy's not, like, you know, pretty damn quick and with a big arm, they're not going to, you know, it's not like they're going to put him in the bullpen or something and develop his arm enough to play shortstop, you know, over time. Like, you know, there's just limits to what, you know, what a guy can do. And so you try to establish, like, what is the floor? What is the ceiling of his skills? What is the floor? What is the ceiling of how he's actually performing and developing on the field? But it's all still, you know, kind of taking a scientific wild ass guess, the old swag, as they say, to figure out, you know, where it's going to go. You know, if I knew, I'd probably be working for a team.
Yeah.
but they don't know either. And you see them experiment all the time because they don't know either. There's no answer. It's real life. You know, you just have to see how it plays out to some degree.
Yeah. I mean, in the reverse, the funny example is Mookie Betts, right? Who came up as a second baseman, was an outstanding second baseman, got moved to right field, was an outstanding right fielder. And then they moved him to shortstop, but he's holding his own there. It's like, what? That's not how it's supposed to work at all. But
did the Red Sox screw up by not developing him as a shortstop? Yeah, you know,
possibly. Yeah. Yes.
we've asked about the Tigers, how they developed players in the past, and like I said, some of the players just say they told us to just do our thing, and others now there's certain things that they're responsible for working on, whether getting the ball in the air or whatever the case is. But as far as the reason why the Tigers have struggled with development in terms of hitting wise too, is that they haven't drafted well either. I mean, it has been, as far as like in the later rounds go, I mean, it's easy to get the first two rounds, right? But even then, the Tigers, if you look at some of the past draft classes, it's rough sledding.
Yeah, I mean, you can find the skills, you know, in the rounds. It's easier there to see. It's usually more developed guys, either whether compared to the rest of the prep class or whether compared to the rest of the college class. But up there, it's kind of easier. Everywhere else, you're doing a lot of forecasting. I think Wentzel is an interesting example, just because, you know, I think you guys were on this too. Like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago where it was just like, dude, he just cannot throw in the infield. He's, you know, he's got plus speed. Why don't they try him in the outfield? And, you know, we've all kind of, you know, slowly picked up the pace there and kind of expecting, like, hey, you know, maybe you should try this because the infield's not working out. So that was a point where, just by his foot speed alone, you could still find another role for him. But at the same time, it was hard to know where to put them on.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A prospect list last year because I was like, okay, light hitting infielder, I think he'll hit. You know, he has the bat to ball skills, but I have no idea where they're going to play him. You know, there isn't a position for him, and you know, until you kind of know that, it's pretty hard to forecast. Like, you know, the Tigers could have just decided to like bring him up here as a right fielder and a second baseman, and been scared to play him in the infield. You know, if they hadn't finally decided, like, okay, you know, this just hasn't worked. His only path is to move to the outfield and try something different. But, you know, you could kind of see that coming. It's just that, again, it's real life and you kind of want to play it out. You want Wenzel Perez to get as much time as possible in the infield to see if it'll work out. But yeah, once he's ready to hit in the major leagues and he's 24 and it's like, well, we don't have forever, you know, figure something out. Where can he play?
Yeah. It'll be the most effective. And a couple guys that come in mind are top from 20 to 10 here that come in that situation, guys like Eddie Lenard, who could play in the outfield. Max Anderson still, to me, doesn't have a defined position. I could see him. You know, there's definitely some signs where he could play first. He could play anywhere. Maybe second base is not his permanent position. Maybe he goes in the right field. Who knows? And Lenard has, again, people have said that he has a decent glove at short, but his speed out there could put him in the outfield. And Lee can hold his own at second base, but again, he's also a guy that you could see definitely at some point perhaps going out the outfield. That's another one too, that Lee's, by the way, he didn't change our list, Chris, did he? It was 12th last time, 12th this time too, right?
You know, I didn't even look to see if guys moved, but I think that's about right. Yeah.
So, by the way, thank you for the $5, Sean. I appreciate that. That's the I almost had to play the wrong drop there.
How much more we gotta lose?
See, not that one. Exquisite.
How much more we gotta lose?
Off the Frickers building.
Brandon, have you heard her new drop yet?
No, I don't think I have. No.
Oh yeah, this is Anthony Townsend or Anthony Towns from
Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, how much more we gotta lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
I've been losing for 20 years.
That's over the Timberwolves. By the way, Timberwolves came back from 20 points down to beat the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets last night. And I was watching the NBA playoffs. I've been watching it. It's actually been some good, wild, crazy stuff. Jaden Hamm comes in at number 10. And is he wants to know, specifically ask you, Chris, is he a long-term reliever? I think if he's going to be a starter, he has to get some more miles per hour. And we talked about that a little bit too, but he has to, that curveball, that breaking ball has to be a little sharper at Double A in order not to get destroyed in Erie.
Yeah. You know, he's, I look at him as a starter right now that there's, we talked about there's four distinct pitches there. They all need to get a little bit better, right? He needs to throw the changeup a little bit more to get lefties and the needs to avoid leaving the curve over the heart of the plate and you get a little bit more horizontal break if you can on the slider, but the fastball, I'm not as concerned about the velocity. It would be nice if he threw harder, but it's just such a good shape, especially when he throws it up, that yeah. That I think he can get by with that. I don't know if Double A hitters are going to chase it as much or swing and miss as much, but yeah, right now I think the strikes are there. It's an unusual delivery, I guess, but it's not, you know, he repeats it pretty well, and he's. Yeah, I don't see any reason to project him into the bullpen yet. Other than, you know, people might say, oh, that's kind of a relievery delivery, but it doesn't seem to have like a lot of effort. It's just a long arm action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not throwing him into the bullpen mix yet. I mean, you can consider everybody. I mean, Jackson Job could make a great reliever if you need to, right? Like,
yeah.
But there are other guys in the system who I think who are masquerading as starting pitchers when they're probably bullpen guys. And I wouldn't say that about Ham yet.
No. Yeah. And they're also kind of, you know, it just happens that the Tigers, as the rotation gets better, this is just going to happen more and more. Like the you know, the bar just starts to get a little bit higher. You know, Matt Manning can't really crack this rotation now. And yeah, we can have the Maeda Manning argument, but you know, you start to pile up where it's like, okay, you know, is Herter ever going to really like crack that rotation full time? No. But is it possible that for another team, he might be their fifth starter? Yeah, maybe. So yeah, again, it's team. There's some elements of like the role. I kind of thought, you know, I thought they kind of would shorten Ham's arm action the way that Melton's has kind of developed a little bit. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, I basically agree with your Ham assessment. I think he's a starter, and I actually think he's going to get a lot better, but you kind of have to see it. They'll be working on his extension. They're going to try to get him, you know, stronger in the lower half and a little more flexible. He's already like decent in that regard, but I'm sure they'd like a little bit more. But I don't know if he necessarily needs more velocity. I just think that the Tigers have shown that they can develop a guy's velocity now pretty consistently. Just about everybody has gained, you know, a tick to three ticks to four ticks over the past couple of years. So I don't think that's a wild expectation. And yeah, you know, Joe Ryan has a great shape on his fastball and throws 91, 92. So, you know, if you have the shapes and can command it and keep it out of the middle of the plate and still throw strikes, you can get a long way. His secondary pitches all need work for sure. It kind of seems like he'd be better off with a hard slider to me. Yeah. And maybe they'll start working on that, but you know, that's another thing about development is like, how much do you expect to put on a dude's plate? Like right off the bat, you know, like, okay, we're going to fix this curveball. We're going to tune up your slider and we're going to teach you a split change grip. And we also want to alter your delivery. And we're going to do that this spring, you know?
Yeah.
You have to kind of stagger it out. Yeah.
Well, and in his case, they may have talked about it or discussed it, but said, hey, you know, go out and pitch the way you pitch and we'll see how long it works. And so far so good. But like,
it's like with your kids, sometimes you have to let them prove it, you know, have to let them make the mistakes or something.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I was just saying, yeah, he may have to get to AA and then hit a speed bump and then we might see some adjustments, but that's basically what we're saying.
Yeah. By the way, talk about Cole Kuechken extra bases. He got a double to score the Tigers' second run. They're now down 8-2 in the top of the seventh inning. So it was just talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, the first two balls he hit a billion miles an hour, and this one was a 78 mile an hour with 1 degree launch angle for a double. Baseball,
classic.
Yeah. Oh, that's baseball for you. No, and. Yeah, see there it is. Oh, that's a good pitch right there. That when he get that curve down like that, that's a damn good pitch. And that, no, in terms of his mechanics, Brandon, I completely agree. If you could put a slider to that delivery, that'd be awesome. Somebody commented on Montero being too high on our list. I guess apparently they've only watched the last four of his starts, and Montero struggled a little bit. But if you're going to look at his whole, I mean, look at his whole body of work before you. I mean, the guy led the minor leagues in strikeouts last year, or led the Tigers minor league system in strikeouts last year and moved up three levels. So I don't know what people want, and because he's struggling right now, right? Just looking at his last couple starts, but either way, Madden at number seven, that was, I don't know, like there's like, man, what was it over the weekend? He started, and for whatever reason, Toledo decided on Saturday to put in a positional player down two in the fifth inning. Not sure what the hell happened. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think because Madden only gave him 1 2/3 innings, right? It was like four hits, four earned runs. And then they had a doubleheader the next day. And I think Maeda was scheduled to pitch three innings. So they knew they had a ton of innings to cover.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they sent Riley Unroe out there to really take one for the team. And boy, did he. It was 10 hits, 10 earned runs, three home runs, two walks. And then Blaine Madris, I think, came in to get the final out. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those ones where you looked at the score and then you kind of had to, you had to piece back, because I didn't watch that game. I was just like, you know, what the heck happened there? But yeah, I mean, they just ran out of pitching. That's pretty much all it comes down to. Montero's an interesting case because, like, nobody nationally still is really paying attention. But, you know, I mean, the dude's racking up 30% plus strikeout rates for years now. You know, AAA is harder to throw strikes in because of the ABS system. And, you know, we've seen plenty of pitchers kind of have this weird adjustment where they suddenly have to like just start throwing it down the middle just to compete there and then sort of expand back out and sort of figure out how to handle that. And then you go to the major leagues and the rules are different. Can we get the same rules all across major leagues again? At some point, we're going to get there. I believe it. But I love that you have Montero that high. I think I've still got Madden ahead of him just because I think Madden's a little more consistent. And now that I can see the split change, I'm a little bit more willing to believe that he can handle the lefties and kind of solve some of these problems. But he got up to AAA, and after kind of solving the lefty problem, he has to solve the problem, you know, again at the AAA level with lefties. So, you know, Mr. Bay hit him up pretty good the other day, and, you know, a couple other lefties. So, you know, it's the next step there. I think Madden is a little bit more proven strike thrower, but Montero's been durable. Montero has the higher ceiling because he's got two potentially 70 breaking balls if he ever could sort of tune the whole thing together and be really consistent with them. And, you know, their fastballs are pretty equivalent. Montero has a little better shape. Maybe Madden has a bit more velocity. You know, you can kind of pick your poison there. But I really like both of them. I think we're in pretty good shape with the two of those guys. And then Melton and Ham coming after them. Job will be in the rotation as soon as they decide to put Job in the rotation. But the future beyond him looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, I know. And that's where, I mean, I look at somebody like Gibson Long, who's, you know, he's on the IL, obviously. I still think that he could be somewhat of a serviceable reliever or a back end starter. I wanted to also, Campos was like 2021, and this year Campos has been hitting the ball better. There is some data that indicates too, he's cut back on the ground balls. So there's something to be said about that. Defensively, they've been playing him. He's been playing better defensively. He's not, I know his knock on him is his defense. I mean, we're going to go, I plan on going to West Michigan when they come back. They're away again. They're not coming back till after Memorial Day weekend. I think they come back for the first week of June for their first home series. And you look at his numbers right now, the ISO numbers are about identical to what they were towards the tail end of last year. But it's, as far as like slugging goes, yeah, okay, same thing. The numbers are kind of similar, but what's encouraging to me, at least, is along the line, the ground balls are at 38%, comparatively speaking, to 47% last year. And his line drive numbers are at 30%. So he's getting in the fly balls are about 30. It's like 30%. So he's figuring things out. And that's something that people are talking about. Well, he's been there for a couple of years. God, folks, he's only, what, 22? I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't even think he's that old. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't get the, well, he's been there for a while.
I mean, he's another one, you know, I mentioned him earlier, it part of that group where like, the tools are there. It's just the performance. And then, you know, I thought he'd turned the corner. And then this week it was like 2 for 20 something with 14 strikeouts and one walk. And it was like, maybe he doesn't see the ball well in Peoria. I don't know. It's again, like we've seen flashes from these guys, you know, my initial list, I don't think I had Isaac Pacheco in my top 30 when I just initially put the list together. And then I was like, all right, well, I probably have to keep him in there because there's still some hope there. It's just, you know, it's easy to get down on these guys when they're struggling early on or when they haven't shown a ton of, you know, progress. But sometimes it clicks for guys later in the season. So you just kind of, like we said earlier, it's that balancing act of holding on to the tools a little bit and hoping that they eventually catch up.
Yeah, and a little bit of like, you know, process starting to work, but the results aren't there yet. Yeah. You know what he has to do, which is hit more fly balls and get the ball off the ground. And he's starting to show some signs of doing that. But if he actually really gets it locked in because of his raw ability, you're just going to start seeing home runs and doubles, you know, flying off the wall and over the wall. And it'll be obvious, you know, if Roberto Campos figures it out, and he is just shy of his 21st birthday still. And was up there, you know, when he was 19. I mean, he was just, you know, he was just kind of advanced for that age, but, you know, clearly wasn't ready to just torch the league and move through. So, but yeah, I mean, the raw power there is plentiful. And if he ever taps into it, there won't be a whole lot of question. But, you know, for the time being, it's like looking at that little step in terms of process, hitting less ground balls and hoping that you start to see that breakout. So. But there's still a question of how much you want to believe in it. And I can totally understand, like, after seeing it, you know, for a couple of years, you know, you start to wear out and you start to get, you know, you start to get down on the guy. But, you know, Wenzel Perez had that time period too, where everybody was pretty much done with him. Parker Meadows got to the brink where everybody was like, nope, this is never going to happen. You know, we've been telling him to shorten his swing and do all, and clean up his hand path and all this stuff for, you know, a couple of years. He hasn't been able to do it. Well, then he did it, you know. Some of those stories, I think we've seen from, you know, Ryan Garko interviews with you guys and elsewhere that, you know, they knew what he needed to do and they emphasized it in a way that was not being done beforehand. And so I'm not sure you're going to see like that delineation that you saw in 2022 where, you know, Ryan Garko shows up and all of a sudden all these guys get better. They should theoretically be in a better process and a better plan from the get-go here. And so maybe we won't see as many late breakouts, you know, 2 or 3 years from now. They'll either break out when they're younger or not at all, but we'll just kind of have to see how that plays out. But yeah, for now, you know, you just keep playing Campos and hope we start seeing the dingers. And until that really happens, you can move them up. And I guess eventually they, you know, they'll send them to Erie sometime this summer because it's either going to be working or it isn't. But you know, until you start to see the dingers, there's not a whole lot else to worry about. You know, you don't have to watch them a whole ton. It's going to be kind of an all or nothing type show when it happens, if it does.
I mean, I look at somebody too, like another guy on the list too, in terms of like just making an adjustment on another level in Troy Melton. And that's the final pitcher before, I mean, obviously he's one of the, I mean, we have Briseño too. We're definitely gonna talk about Briseño and McGonagall here, because we do have some Flying Tiger representation for the first time, like in the top 10, which has not been the case in quite some time on our list. Usually it's been double A, high A dominated. I mean, I know levels don't really play a thing, but it's just interesting to see some, you know, for the first time, some Lakeland, or some guys from the Flying Tigers. But Melton has adjusted pretty well in double A so far. He's got a K per nine of 9.1. And what I liked about him so far, gentlemen, is that it's the same thing we saw last year at West Michigan. He's kind of learning a little bit how to pitch on a higher level, and he's making those adjustments in game, and you can see that like it going on as the game progresses.
Yeah, you know, he had a rough outing in his last outing. He gave up 3 home runs. It was just one of those things that happens, but he still managed to get some strikeouts. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's one of the other guys that I don't have a ton of relief concern about Melton, although I still don't really know, you know, with his pitches, I'm not sure which one's going to be the major league out pitch, but I think he'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a good enough changeup and a good enough breaking ball that I can picture them developing without too much trouble. Like it doesn't, you know, to a degree, it just needs to be a little sharper and a little more consistent. I think the fastball shape varies a little bit. Sometimes that gets him trouble. He'll flatten a couple out. And occasionally someone will run into one, but yeah, I mean, he'd barely given up any home runs, you know, going back pretty much all last year. He just was not giving up home runs, not getting hit hard in the air. So that was kind of a rare outing for him. And, you know, you can look at that and be like, and be down on it, or you can be like, okay, well, this is why he's there, is to occasionally find some people who can hit him up and learn to start adjusting to move up. You know, we worry about, or at least I worry about Job, because I just don't see that much challenge for him. I don't see much challenge for Ham at West Michigan. As soon as I start to feel that way, I'm like, yeah, move him up. let's go. But you know, Melton just has a lot to like there. The athleticism, how fast he's developed, how little pitching experience he really has. He's really only kind of been a dedicated pitcher for a couple seasons now. So you've got, you know, a fresh arm there that was hitting 102 you know, last spring camp a year ago. We didn't see too much triple digits in the regular season last year, but it's in there. And again, we see, you know, what the Tigers have been able to do in terms of biomechanics, in terms of, you know, developing their pitchers in the gym, in the weight room, as well as on the mound. And, you know, I don't think there's a huge leap that needs to go on there for Troy Melton to be a top 100 pitcher. I just think the breaking ball needs to get a little bit sharper. I think the changeup needs to be a little more consistent. These are all, you know, not ridiculous asks. He has to do it, and we'll have to see if he can do it over the course of the season. But, you know, he got there pretty quick. So, you know, he's going to need time to work.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just wanted to put I found the other video profile that I was doing here earlier. Lynn Henning today brought up something about Dingler seeing possibly time at the major league level. And I kind of scoffed at that a little bit, because I know Dingler has been hitting better as of late, and I think he's getting better. I mean, there's been signs of it all year round. his growl. Like one stat that stood out to me about him was is that his, in terms of hitting more, like his ground ball rate has decreased from like 46% to 29% in Toledo.
Yeah.
And so he has been hitting the ball pretty hard as of late. The defense has been there. So I don't know. Like it's there's a lot of positive signs to see Dingler, but I honestly know it sounds like maybe perhaps sacrilegious, but I like Carson Kelly at Jake Rogers right now. I would like to see Dingler get a chance in September, maybe if one of the Kelly struggles or what have you, but the catching depth in the organization is Henning was mentioning is not very deep, but I don't know. There's De La Cruz. I think it's kind of weird to write that off as they don't have a lot of depth. I think they have some depth, but it's.
I mean, there's those questions about Bracino and, you know, you don't know, you know, there's still a lot of question as to whether he's a catcher, but, you know, I think, you know, you kind of have to play Dingler this year. If you get the chance, he needs to see the major leagues and start getting his process together there. And I think the reason you could be comfortable calling him up is because I, you know, the problem isn't his defensive game. You know, I think AJ Hinch has said as much. And AJ Hinch isn't real complimentary of his catchers in the minor leagues, are real, like, you know, anxious to be like, oh yeah, he'll be fine. You know, AJ Hinch is not that way with his catchers, nor is Chris Fetter. I think Dylan Dingler would come up and do just fine behind the plate. Do I expect he'd get torched by major league pitching? Yeah, probably. But you know, so does Jake Rogers and Carson Kelly to some extent. You know, catcher is the position where you're okay with that. And yeah, Carson Kelly and Jake Rogers are both grading out well defensively. We know they're both good behind the plate, and the Tigers seem pretty comfortable with them. And when you look at how good the Tigers pitching staff is, you know, don't write off that part of it, because having two good catchers that everyone is really comfortable working with and having called the game is a big part of that. And some teams still ignore that a little bit. You know, the Astros never did, you know, like they just run Martin Maldonado out there forever, even though he didn't even necessarily grade out that well defensively, because having the guy that their pitchers were comfortable with and that they were comfortable with, you know, running the game was more important to them than that one spot in the lineup. And, you know, I would assume the Tigers are going to continue to feel the same way.
Yeah, I look at Dingler's impact on the rotation last year in Erie, when after he came back from injury.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to the question if he can be worse than the guys that are up there now, the answer is yes. We talked before about how the jump from AAA to the majors is huge, and all along the way, Dingler's numbers have been worse than Jake Rogers were when he was in the minors. Now, something strange is going on with Dingler this year, and it's early enough that it might not mean anything, but both his strikeout rate and his walk rate are way down. He's putting a lot more balls in play now, and he's actually, you know, he's hitting better, as it were. You know, he's not hitting for a ton of power, and he's not, like, you know, without the walks, the kind of overall offensive value has gone down, but he's not striking out at an exorbitant rate anymore, which is, progress there, so... Yeah, it would shock me if we don't see him at some point this year.
Yeah, I mean, his ground ball rate, what, last year was 46.9% at AAA. It was 32.8% at AA. But yeah, it's 29.3 right now. He's got a 32% line drive rate going, and he's not popping that many up. So there's some things there, yeah, where you see the results haven't been great, but you see some process work there starting to come to fruition. And I think, you know, for most of us, the Tigers don't seem to emphasize, you know, I mean, they're emphasizing defense with their catchers.
Yeah.
And they'll assume you'll figure it out as well as you can. Like Jake Rogers could not hit a lick when they called him up in 2019. It was, you know, he hit two home runs and then it was a debacle that made Ron Gardenhire cry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had to send him down. And, you know, then he went to, who was it? Oh, the guy on the West Coast. I can't remember his name at the moment, but yeah, got a private hitting coach. Made some changes to his swing and, you know, started to figure it out at least enough to hang. And that's probably all you're going to get out of Dingler, you know, at best is a guy who hits enough to play catcher for you and, you know, cashes in some power. But catchers are often late developing as hitters because that's not what they're focused on. So there's still some hope for Dingler, I would say.
Speaking of late development, Justice Bigby has been hitting the ball pretty well as of late. And it's because Sam brings him up in YouTube on our YouTube chat, and he's done really well, and that's something worth noticing that, again, came on late last year, or beginning last year, and I don't think he wasn't on our top 30. You mentioned it earlier, right, Chris? He wasn't on our May update.
Not in May, no. And then it was like, you know, we just fall in the games in West Michigan, and it's like, hey, Justice Bigby with another home run, Justice Bigby with another double, and like he came up to Erie and was like, Justice Bigby with another three hit game. It just kept going and going and going, and he hasn't cracked. He hasn't figured out AAA quite yet, but yeah, he's improving right now. So it's always been a tough profile with Bigby because he's an outfield only, corner outfield only. Hits the ball super hard, but he doesn't pull it a ton, so there's not a ton of over the fence power, and it's just a tough profile to see that playing in the big leagues. But there's enough there that it's still really interesting. If that makes any sense.
He feels like a guy that if you gave him to the Dodgers, they'd figure this out, and all of a sudden he'd just be hitting nukes. Because yeah, there's so much hard contact, but yeah, it's just not pulled in the air enough to count, you know. And that's
Tampa
process and results. Yeah, maybe Tampa. You know, I mean the Eat Sock Paredes protocol. You know, I wrote that article about Perez last night, and one thing I did notice is that even though his max exit velocity is only like 105.6. Isak's is only like 106 something, yep. You know, if you pull the damn ball in the air and hit it hard, as hard as you can, you don't have to have plus raw power. You know, Kerry Carpenter doesn't have the raw power that Torkelson or Baez or Green have, but you know, he crushes the ball in the air. You know, that's what you got to do.
I went back and I was going through a bunch of my old articles that I'd written for Motor City Bengals a few years back. And I had one about Isak Paredes' fatal flaw was that he didn't hit the ball hard enough. And back then it was, I don't remember, it was a point of discussion that he didn't have like a single barrel that year with the Tigers. And the problem wasn't that he hasn't hit the ball any harder in Tampa. He just has learned how to pull it exclusively in the air. And like back then he was not hitting as many fly balls. He was like using the whole field and it just wasn't doing any good for him. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes guys just figure it out in the big leagues once they get to a different situation.
And in 2021, the Tigers were telling him to do exactly that and working with him to do it. And we saw him start to hook all these balls foul. And you know, it just hadn't come to fruition yet. And they unfortunately traded him before it did. Maybe it wouldn't have got there, but I kind of don't think Tampa like did any major swing changes with him or anything. No. They just changed the setup a little bit. He pulled the ball in the air, just kept yelling that at him. And you know, eventually it worked out. And a little bit, you know, with Wenzel, he just stopped hitting the ball on the ground. And even though he doesn't have, you know, even though you'd put him at below average raw power, there's nothing on the ground. there's nothing. Go look up, you know, major league batting average on ground balls versus line drives or even fly balls, and then go look at slug. You can't hit the ball on the ground in the major leagues. The infielders are too good. The defensive positioning is too good. Can't do it. So even if you're, you know, a slappy little light hitting dude and you're like, oh, this launch angle stuff is bullshit. No, you got to hit the ball in the air. You don't have to lift them. You know, you don't have to drop your rear shoulder. No one's telling you to do anything crazy. You got to catch the ball out front, and, you know, hit the ball hard in the air.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Save big money on everything for your next project today at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer, plus other great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.